For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper the thing whereunto I have sent it. It's wonderful to pause as we travel through this life into eternity and think about eternal things. I hope you'll do your very best to put your mind upon them, and we appreciate your presence toward that end. Now the Bible says, in this and so many other places, that God's Word will accomplish what He meant for it to do. That is a very powerful statement if you believe the Word of God. I am convinced that the religious world has forgotten what makes the church the church, and what makes the saved saved, and what makes worship worship. It's just, as so happened. In our lesson today, we're going to study about this fact. We're going to study about our priorities must be the same as Jesus or God's priorities. Sometimes we forget that because they are not. In this particular passage, it says right above this, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways. It is our job as lowly and sinful people in many ways to come toward God and try to prioritize our lives. And that's what I hope this lesson will help us somewhat do. Now I want to set out in this lesson just to prove one thing. And if you can accept this, you can see where I'm coming from. God, this is a quotation from God, stop the preaching of the word for. And then it's a blank. Now you don't find that anywhere in the Bible per se, but you find it all the way through the Bible. Told. Stop the preaching of the word for. If the religious world could understand the only one thing that you can stop the preaching of the word for and be pleasing to God, we would have it licked. If the church, if every Christian could understand what is the only thing you can stop the preaching of the God for and be acceptable to God, it would solve our attendance problem. It would solve our study problem. It would solve our problem of needing new and big things to keep us faithful, although we do need to do our very best. If that's big things, that'd be good. I'm not against that. But we would find that. And so when we look at this, we're going to look at the book of Acts. And I started out, I've done this two or three times, and I know that this is a pretty long lesson, so you're going to have to brace up and try to prop your eyes open and listen. There are 28 chapters in the book of Acts. I have picked out, I've tried to go through and limit it to one thing a chapter, but there's taught in this exactly what God says, the only thing you can stop preaching for or teaching for. Now I want you ladies especially listen. This is the only thing you can stop teaching for. The church needs women teachers badly to teach our children, to teach their older or younger women, teach the older women, teach the younger women, as Paul corrected. And of course it needs men. But I think that we sometimes misunderstand how difficult it is for women to find enough time and energy to carry on their responsibilities in this earth and help build the kingdom which becomes their responsibility. In Acts, the first chapter, and I've done this two or three times, and I have trouble getting it down to one thing, but in the Acts, the first chapter, we are impressed with the scope of what God wanted done. And the book of Acts, by the way, is the only book of real history of New Testament Christians. If the church you're a part of is not like the book of Acts, it's not like God's Word. It's not like what Jesus taught. It's not like what's accessible to God. And so in the book of Acts, you're now living, after Acts 2, in the New Testament age. You're teaching what needs to be taught and was taught to us, and you're obeying what God told them. But the Bible says in this, I'm reading verse 8, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. No person in all of human history has undertaken such a project. We as a people have undertaken to educate all of our populace. It's become a hard task and an expensive task. It is a task that is to be commendable, but that's to teach secular things. Jesus told the apostles, he said, this is the work we're beginning. I want this done. I want you to be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth, anywhere there that had never been thought of before. Sometimes we study this, and people clean the Bible study, and they never see what God's really saying when he said, when it's said all, and when it's all melted down, and we've got the sum of it all, then you begin to understand that. In Acts, the second chapter, we read there that begins the preaching of that. And the Bible says in verse 37, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said, Lord, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 41, then they that gladly received the word were baptized. And the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. This was the beginning. We're looking for the one thing that God said, now you can stop preaching the word. In other words, God gave his people, you've got the job of taking the gospel all over the world. But there's one thing that you can stop it for. You can put a pause in it for. And that's the one thing. Now, if you can come up with this, you will be pretty good. Then in Acts, the third chapter, the Bible teaches us back that when they went in here and they began to preach, the Bible says that they entered into the temple there. And the Bible says in verse 6 that the two leaders among them said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. This job had to be accomplished without anybody in the particular first group they know of having any particular amount of silver and gold. Except Peter and John said, we don't have any. Now, if you don't understand that principle, that did not relieve them from the responsibility of teaching other people. That wasn't it. Then we go to Acts 4. And the Bible tells us in Acts 4 that they preached, and the verse 18 says, and they called them, if you don't recognize that, the Sanhedrin Council, the leading group of Jews on this earth, called them, the apostles. And they said and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. We're going to stop this thing. You're not to teach anymore in the name of Jesus. And the Bible says, but Peter and John answered them and said to them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more unto God, judge ye, but we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So it was not to be stopped by threats. The Bible says they did threaten them, but it was not to be stopped by threats. In chapter 5, they had an interesting worship service in the Church of Christ in that chapter 5. And the Bible says that Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. They had a worship service, and one of their members was killed right in the middle of it. Well, the Bible says 3 hours went by, and here come his wife. And the Bible says, then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. Someone said, they ought to have called a halt in that situation. Stopped preaching and teaching the word and took care of the people that were concerned about deaths, because that would have been good. But the Bible says, and great fear came upon all the church, and as many as heard these things. In Acts the 6th chapter, we read a very interesting verse, and most people don't even recognize this principle that's taught in Acts 6 and verse 2. Then the disciples called the multitude, called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God to serve tables." Somebody said, if you just help the poor, you don't need to worry about the word of God. That's not what this book says. This book says that the apostles said they were looking after widows, and they put men over them who would help them do this, and all of them together still had a responsibility to teach. And the Bible says that the apostles said it's not reason that we who are the apostles should quit preaching the word so we can look after the widows. That's a great work, but we can get others to do that so we can speak the word. No church can build a benevolent program big enough to stop preaching the word. Nobody. Now, one thing is more important than benevolent work that's taught here, and that is, and I'm not playing down this because this is also essential. Then in Acts 8, the Bible says in Acts 8th chapter that great persecution arose against the church which is at Jerusalem. And the Bible says they were scattered abroad throughout all the regions of Judea and Samaria. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial. I like to tell you about that in chapter 7. Didn't have time enough, so I skipped it. That was a death that didn't stop the teaching of the Word of God. And here it is. Devout men carried it. And the Bible says Paul made havoc of the church. And then the Bible says, therefore they that were scattered abroad quit preaching the word because they couldn't keep that up and under all that persecution. What are we going to say to God? Those of us in the United States, you know, we've been blessed. We've had 200 years of unparalleled freedom in the United States of America. No nation on God's earth could live anywhere they wanted to, work anywhere they wanted to, spend their money any way they wanted to, spend their time any way they wanted to. No nation in the history of God's world could do that. What have we done with the freedom that God has given us? You can go anywhere in this world today if you've got the money to go there and the desire. Now, there might be some restrictions on some countries, but it's a general statement that would be accepted as true. And if you wanted to go to China to preach the word, you could go. If you want to go to Kalamazoo, you can go. And if you want to go across the street, you can go. Now, that don't mean you'll be persecuted. Guarantee that. But that's so persecution was not what would cause them to stop the word. Acts 9, verse 1. And Saul, that's Paul, you know, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, that's the New Testament way, by the way, same way we worship, whether they were men or women, that he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Well, the Bible says then, doesn't it, that when Paul got down there and started doing that, all the disciples went home and quit assembly. You know they didn't do that. You know they didn't do that. Letters from religious leaders giving authority to arrest and persecute Christians does not and cannot stop preaching the word and have the approval of God. And there are places when you start preaching the word, you run into that today. Thank God we haven't reached that place yet, although they make light of you if you believe in. You people going to college, you might well get ready. You might well get ready. Two-thirds or three-fourths of the faculty, not all of them, will make light of you if you believe the Word of God's inspired truth. Every word of it's true. I fought that all my life. I went to the University of Tennessee. They took my counseling. I went in and sat for 17 men. They were good men as far as I knew, professors But I'd been in the faith too long and had my feet on too much ground. And so they said, "Mr. McCall, we looked at your resume, and all we saw was Bible, Bible, Bible." Well, they didn't know that Lipscomb required you to have Bible every day, and they didn't know how poor that Bible teaching sometime was. I knew the Bible, and Lipscomb helped me some, but that's not what I learned in the Lord's church. I learned it from Sister Hegwood, Sister Porter. I learned it from Brother Tom Hegwood. I learned it from the best preachers the world has ever known. I believe that with all my heart. You haven't had that privilege. Most of you young people haven't. And the church does not have gospel meetings. You don't get that privilege. But brethren, when you look at this and you think about what's going on, you cannot stop the preaching of the word simply because somebody's going to make fun of you. That's not going to help you at all. And so the Bible says there that they got letters to stop them, but it didn't stop them. And they went right on preaching. Chapter 10. Well, we get to chapter 10. The Bible says, I'm going to put 10 and 11 kind of together, that the Lord told Peter to go down yonder to the household of Cornelius. He was a Gentile, and so Peter went. Now, I'm going to start to verse 44 of chapter 10, verse 44, to pick up the point I want to make. While Peter yet spake these words, he was speaking, preaching, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many came with Peter, because on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. You cannot stop preaching the word if God has the Holy Ghost on you and you can speak other languages. Although you can't do that. Now here's what's happened in our day and time. People holler, God's given us the Holy Ghost. And they quit preaching the word and go to preaching their own, whatever they want to say. Their own plan of salvation. Their own form of worship. And they're up there strumming on this and strumming on that. Trying to praise God with instrumental music. And they can't find that in the New Testament. Brethren, wake up. Wake up. God, of course, and the world needs to wake up. And here it was, the Holy Ghost. And if they did fall, the Bible says that it fell. And so the Bible says, verse 47, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And it commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. It would not change hearing and preaching the word if people could work miracles, which they cannot. And if you got anybody on earth that you think you can, I will go to the graveyard with them anywhere I can get the money to go. And if he'll bring forth one, I'll bring forth a second. Tell him that. You couldn't pour one of them on you to get to do that. They can't do it. And we ought to not be afraid to tell them that. Because all we're interested in is the truth of God. We're not interested in getting along with everybody. We're not interested in impressing everybody. We're interested in impressing God that we believe the truth. And that's it. What, chapter 12, verse 2? And the Bible says, then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Now, brethren, things are getting deep in Jerusalem. Herod, that old Herod that we read about in the scriptures, he took James, the brother of John, had him in prison, and he killed him. Somebody said, ooh, that ought to stop you preaching the word. Wonder how many of us would preach the word if the government arrested or somebody arrested one of us and cut our head off. Wonder how many of us would attend Sunday night service. But anyway, the Bible says that happened, but that didn't stop. The Bible says Peter was also thrown there in prison. And the Bible says that the door had opened and let Peter out of prison. And the Bible says that Peter then came to himself. He was carried out, city gates opened to him. He'd just been in prison here for preaching the word. And the Bible says that he went up to the house of John Mark's mother and knocked on the door. And a young lady named Rhoda, I want to meet Rhoda when I get to heaven. She came to the door. I guess she was a teenager, I would just imagine. And the Bible says when she saw Peter, she was astonished. And the Bible says that she ran back in. And the Bible says that Peter came in and beckoned with his hand. And he said, go show these things to James, to the brethren. And he departed. He was going to go preach the gospel before he got killed in this particular place. And so imprisonment and killing people did not stop the preaching of the word. It could not. God would not approve that. Well, the Bible says in Acts the 13th chapter, and you could almost pick up anywhere and you can see what wouldn't stop the preaching of the word. But I want to turn particularly to Acts 13, and I want to look at verse 46. Well, I'll start at 45. Acts 13, 45, if some of you are keeping with me, I see you are. When the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy. Now, they were preaching in Antioch of Pisidia the word. That's what they're doing. And they spake against those things spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary the word of God should first be spoken to you, but since you're going to act that way, we're going to quit speaking it. I missed it. Should first be spoken unto you, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves on the word of their everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Anybody that throws the word away in his life has assigned his soul to hell. That's exactly what that says. Seeing you put, if you won't obey the gospel, you've assigned your soul to hell. What does that say? Seeing you put it from you, that's the word of God, and judge yourselves on whether everlasting life, we turn to the Gentiles. Verse 47, for so hath the Lord commanded us. We're not going to stop preaching. You've rejected it. You know, when we look, people reject the Bible, we get all excited. You don't really expect the majority of people to accept the Bible, do you? You got your head in the sand. I expect more than what we have. I expect people who fear God and who have been brought up correctly and who have some semblance of respect for the Word of God to be converted. But I don't expect. And so the Bible says that did not stop them from preaching the Word. It just didn't do it. Then we go to Acts 14. And the Bible says, for time's sake, I'm skipping to verse 19. He's in Derby preaching the Word, Paul is. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium. He'd been there preaching the word, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, they threw him out of the city, supposing he'd been dead. Man alive, they took the preacher and stoned him. I guess the people may have come close to stoning me at times. I know sometimes they had liked my preaching too well. One time one told my mother, she didn't know his talk, my mother said, you know, that McConnell feller can't preach at all. He's sorry. My mama just said, well, that's my son. I don't know whether the hip situation or not, but you know, you get that. If no matter what you do in life, you're going to take some criticism. If you're a policeman, if you're a father, if you're a mother, if you're a sister. But if you're a Christian trying to teach, you're going to take, if you can't take criticism and crawl under your rock, you're going to get it. You're going to get it for life. So, and so then the Bible says there it was, at Acts 14, they killed. Acts 15. Now here's a different kind of problem. Every time a question comes up in the Lord's church, somebody quits just about, runs off. I ain't going to fool that. They have questions. Yeah, I ain't going to fool that. Brethren, if you go into your home and you're going to get married, you and your husband or wife, and you're going to say, first argument we have, I'm going home to mama. There ain't no sense. You're starting much. I tell you right now, if there's anybody in here been married any time at all, and tell me that they've gone a year without an argument, if you'll tell me tonight, I will announce it, and I will put your name, write your name real big on the board. Anybody, if any of y'all hadn't had an argument, someone said, yeah, we had one, started the day was married, still going on. You're going to have, the church is seeking after truth. The church is fighting against sin. The third church is fighting against indifference in itself and everybody else. There's going to be situation. Acts 15:1. Certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. Now, brethren, here was a question, and it was obviously untrue. None of the Old Testament is bound on New Testament Christians. Hebrews 10:9. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. The Bible says it was all fulfilled and taken out of the way. Someone says, we still got the Sabbath day. We never have had the Sabbath day. That was a part of the Old Testament law. Somebody said, we got a high priest. Never did have a high priest except Jesus Christ. And you tell the priesthood, the Old Testament. Somebody said, we got instrumental music. Even that wasn't in the original Old Testament. God did allow David to put that in. But that's not in the New Testament. You can't get that. I could go on and on. But anyway, they said, you've got to be circumcised. Now, circumcision is not wrong. It's just a matter of whether or not you want to be circumcised your children or not. But it's not a religious matter anymore. It was for the Jews. They circumcised all the males among them. And they said, we're going to bind this on the church. You can't bind the Old Testament on the church. If you do, you've got a group of people that are ignorant of the Bible, and I say that kindly. And I'll take any of them on the debate you want to. If I can't prove to you that the Old Testament's done away with, when you're on the New Testament with the New Testament, I can't prove anything. And I'd like to have an opportunity to sit down with you and let you read it for yourself if you believe it. The Old Testament is gone insofar as being binding. It's examples to us. It's true. It can help us a great deal, and it's for our comfort and learning. But we are to walk by the law of Christ. You become dead to the law that you might be married to Christ, Romans 7:4. That you become dead to the Old Testament law. Well, then there it was. And so they had a discussion. And the Bible says that, and being brought on their way by the church, I'll read this, they passed through Phoenicia, and this is after, and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto the brethren. They kept on preaching and teaching the word. We'll go to Acts 16. And boy, I could spend all day on this. The Bible says in Acts 16 that here was Paul, and he preached the gospel in Philippi. The Bible says that they caught him and laid many stripes on him and threw him in prison. And the Bible says at midnight there was a great earthquake. And the Bible says that the earthquake loosened all the prison. And the Bible says that the keeper of that prison, we call him the jailer, we don't know his name. And the record says that when he saw everybody's prison bonds were loose and all that, he pulled out his sword, going to kill himself. Now that was logical, because in Acts the 12th chapter you read that there was those that escaped, that got out of prison, and when Herod examined them, he killed all the soldiers that were assigned to guard Peter, because they let him escape. And there were six quaternions, four different ones, 24 of them around the clock, killed all of them because let Peter get out. So that's the way they did it. And the Bible says that when he saw the earthquake and he saw that everything was there, Paul said, do thyself no harm, stop the suicide. That's what I put up there, can you read it? Does suicide and attempt suicide, is that, God said, quit preaching. You don't quit just because somebody tried to commit suicide. It's unfortunate. Many times, you may lose your mind, I may lose mine. I don't think many people are going to commit suicide. Many members of churches that don't have some kind of thing hit them. But anyway, there it was, suicide. And the Bible says, he came in and fell down before Paul and Silas and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Don't you wish everybody that was about to commit suicide would ask that question? Sirs, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to get forgiveness of whatever's got me down to this point? If you young people ever think about this, think about what the Bible says. What must I do to be saved? Obey God, and all your sins will be gone, and your life will be started over. Now, that don't mean it overnight solve every one of your problems, but it does mean you got a new start, and you're a Christian, and you got the help of God in Christ, and you got the Word of God. I don't care what's happening in your life. God will forgive you if you obey Him. That's exactly what the truth teaches. And so you've got to obey Him. But anyway, he said, sirs, what must I do? He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And he spake unto him the word of the Lord, and all that was in his house. And he took him the same hour of the night, midnight, prison all broken up, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And they returned into the house and set meat before them, and they rejoiced, having believed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, earthquake, prison, suicide. That's not the reason Jesus said you can stop preaching the Word of God. All right, let's go a little further. Acts 17. The Bible says Paul goes into Athens. That was the leading thing. And you got the same reaction if you go into our Athens. Go down to Vanderbilt and start teaching the plain New Testament church, and you'll find you run into this kind of reaction. Now, if you want to teach in defense of the gays, go to Vanderbilt, you'll be all right. And I'm not trying to throw any problems in about it. That's the way it is. But if you teach that there's one church, one plan of salvation, one way to worship, and one God, there'll be all kind, if you teach it publicly, all kind of repercussions. And so the Bible says that he preached here in Antioch and Athens, and they just made so many idols. They got so many gods, you can't get all of them. That's still true of all these people. They say they don't have no gods. They got all kind of gods. They got the wife, she's a god. They got the job, she's a god. They got the drinking, it's a god. They got the dancing, that's a god. They got the ungodly apparel, that's a god. You got anything that they want, drunk. They're all kind of gods. And so they've made all kind of gods. And Paul said, him which you eagerly worship, declare unto you. Now, what kind of reaction did he get? He taught that Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead, and that is the part you've got to believe if you're a Christian, because we believe it, and it's taught very plainly. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. They made fun of it. And Paul said, I'm going home. They made fun of me. I'm not going to preach anymore. Brethren, if you preach or teach privately, somebody's going to make fun of you. Somebody's going to criticize you, maybe not to your face. You ladies who teach Bible class, don't get excited if somebody criticizes you. I might even do it, not thinking like I ought to, because I have a tendency to speak when I ought not speak. But you're going to get that. But that's just a part of it. But don't stop because of that. Well, the Bible says in Acts 18, the Bible, we go to at Acts 18, and the Bible says that Paul goes into Ephesus and he preaches the gospel in Corinth. And the Bible says, verse 6, when he's at Corinth, and when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said, your blood be upon your own heads. Paul said, you're not going to listen. And yet they blasphemed. I am clean. He said, I'm going to quit. And all that, and what's it? I am clean. From henceforth, I will go unto the Gentiles. If somebody turns you down, go somewhere else. That's what the Bible teaches about the Word of God. You don't stop. Acts 19. Now we have Paul at Ephesus in Acts 19. And the Bible says that when Paul started out here and began to preach, the Bible says there's 12 men there, and the record says that they hadn't even heard about the Holy Ghost. And he said, unto what then were you baptized? Anytime you start preaching the gospel and you got an honest heart, people will take a look at it and they'll compare what they've been taught to what they did. And let me tell you something. I don't know what you've done if you think you're saved, and I hope and pray you are saved according to the Word of God. But if you were taught and did anything except believe, repent, confess, and be baptized for the remission of your past sins, you were taught wrong and you obeyed wrong. And you're still lost. And so here it was in Bible times when they started preaching. They started preaching, and here was a group of people who were baptized under John's baptism. And they said, we hadn't heard so much of the Holy Ghost. Well, that proved that they hadn't been taught right. Because Matthew's gospel plainly says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. They couldn't have been baptized right and not heard the Holy Ghost. And so he commanded them to be baptized, and they were baptized right. Now, you can only be baptized right once. But if you didn't understand about Jesus or about repentance or about baptism or about you thought you were saved before you were baptized, you couldn't be baptized right and save your life. You got to be baptized, Acts 2:38, for the remission of sins. And if you think they're already taken away, you've been mistaken. And you need to make sure about your salvation. I got all day if you want to study it further, or if you want to be baptized today. I got all day. I'd be glad to do that because it stands in the way of your salvation. And then, of course, I wish I had a lot more time, but I don't. I've got chapter 19. I may just finish this tonight. I guess I missed that. I ain't going to tell you then what the one thing is. You'll have to come back tonight if you don't hear it. There's one thing that God will approve of, but stopping preaching the word. One thing. Now, if any of you people smart enough to tell me, go out, tell me. I'm not going to tell you if you're right or not. You're still going to have to come back to find out. But I'd like to know if you know what it is. There's one thing that you can stop the preaching for and be all right. Not forever, but stop. Pause in it. And there's only one thing. Just one thing. Just one thing. But today, if you're not a Christian, the Word has been taught. And I know you came because the Word's taught. You didn't come to hear me. And I know people who come to our churches come because we teach the Word. We don't teach the newspaper. We don't teach fables. We don't teach what men say, but we preach the Word. If you come, you're going to hear it right from the Word. Because that's what does the book say? The book says, preach the Word. That's what the book says. Most preachers, they had got very little word in. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. Jesus loved you enough to die for you. Do you love him enough to obey him, put him on in baptism, become a member of the Lord's church, and live a faithful life? Go to glory when this is over. Are you here as a Christian and you sin publicly in some way? Second law of pardons. Come and confess your faults and repent of them, and we can pray it then, because that's the second law of pardons. Repent and pray, Acts 8, 20 through 22. Repent and pray. Told the people who had been baptized, but had wandered back into sin. You're subject to the Lord's invitation. It has been preached to you. You've been good enough to come and listen attentively. Have you got enough honesty and goodness in your heart to obey God if you need to? We hope and pray you do, while together we stand and while we sing.